What an epic song. Alan Reid from his new album, Kingdom of the Blind. Just beautiful. Love that song. Next, Greg Lake from Emerson & Palmer will be talking all about his new solo tour. Later in the show, he'll be looking back to the heady days when Emerson & Palmer sold 50-odd million records and were the biggest selling band in the world for a period during the 70s. So that's later on, but coming up in just a moment, as I say, Greg and some of his solo tracks and an ELP track too. It's 7:30.
It's called The Lie, and it was written by Tommy, our keyboard player. It's called The Lie. Here we go. Silent in the hall, and I was feeling the need for an evil read. Your message shining from the wall. Shaking and pale, my future for sale. I knew the loneliness of love, feeling with y'all all alone in the hall. Break fitted like a glove. You didn't want it all. You made me feel as though I lived a lie. The whole world knew except me. What your eyes could see. The pillowcase, the shadow smiled then fell away. Your favorite tune still haunted the room. I would have bled for you to stay, but you didn't want me at all.
That's Greg Lake featuring the very distinctive sound of ex-Thin Lizzy guitarist Gary Moore in that song called The Lie. Now, Greg Lake is out on a solo tour. It's called Songs of a Lifetime. He'll be playing all across England and Scotland through the end of November. So check his website, www.greglake.com, if you fancy seeing him. It's going to be a great gig. Basically, he'll play songs from the Emerson, Lake and Palmer days and his former band King Crimson as well, plus songs that inspired him by other artists. And in between each song, he'll be telling lots of stories about meeting all these famous people and what the songs meant to him. And the audience members can also throw in what they think of the songs and how Greg Lake inspired them. So it's kind of a big interaction. I spoke to Greg about the tour and asked if he was inspired by a similar kind of thing he did with Keith Emerson, playing very intimate gigs across America a few years back.
Well, in a way it was, in the sense that it was they were quite intimate in the sense that they were small shows, and we did, you know, a lot of sort of very basic music in them. But what really inspired me to do this one was the writing of my autobiography, because as I wrote it, these songs kept popping up that, you know, were crucial to my sort of career, to my life, and I think that was what it was. When I got to the end of it, I realised that what these songs represented was the journey that I'd been on, really, and shared together with the audience. And it was that made me think, you know, because with each one of these songs, there's a story attached. And then I thought, you know, there probably is a story attached for everyone. Everybody's got their own life. It's a sort of music as a sort of tapestry against which we all live our lives, and everybody's got stories attached to songs. And I thought, what an interesting thing it would be to actually have a concert where we played these songs and sort of exchanged the memories. And then I got the idea of Songs of a Lifetime.
I mean, it's a great concept. Obviously, you're playing songs that have inspired you, as well as songs that you've written as well. But I mean, I guess that's something quite different for you, that you're there alone on stage, and that rapport with the audience, that must be something quite different, I guess.
It is very peculiar. And, you know, funnily enough, just before I left to go to the United States to do the first part of this tour, I sat in my living room and I thought, oh, no, God, what have I done, you know? Because you have this last-minute doubt about what if people just don't share that same feeling of being bonded by this shared memory, you know. Because, of course, as you rightly point out, you're up there alone and you got 20 more concerts to do, and there's only you to blame, you know. But the moment I did the first show, it became absolutely clear that there was a fantastic sense of belonging. It was more like, you know, when you've been away for a long time and you come back to your family and they throw a party for you and you go in. You know, it feels like that, really.
It's funny, when I first heard about this tour and the way it was arranged, it reminded me of a quote I remember you saying a while back about one of your colleagues, D. Anthony, saying about how at your first gig at Madison Square Garden you had to sing to everyone individually, and it kind of reminded me of that.
Yeah, well, you know, you see, all these things went towards it. I mean, that story was D saying you're only actually performing to one person. You know, when you look out there, of course, you're looking at 20,000 people, but you've got to remember that to each one of them that are sitting there, they're an individual person looking up at you. And so you're really only ever playing to one person, albeit 20,000 times. I never forgot that. And I always, you know, it's something that now when I do the Songs of a Lifetime, it's the difference is, of course, that I can look into the eyes of almost everyone in the audience.
So you
and it's the most strange feeling, you know. And people also come out of themselves in a most incredible, I don't know what the word is, but it's both self-effacing. They want to share the happiness and the pain with everyone. It's as if they want to get it off their chest in some way.
Are you working on new material at the moment?
I am, actually. I try and keep the writing going, always. I think partly because if I stop, it's very hard starting again.
Yes.
But also, I enjoy the process, actually.
Are we going to be seeing some new solo material released soon, then?
I hope so. I'm trying to find the time to do it, really, is what it amounts to. I've got so many other things going on with this book, trying to get this book published and doing all preparing for the UK tour, that it's difficult. But eventually I will, yes.
From the beginning.
That's Emerson, Lake and Palmer, and From the Beginning. There'll be more from Greg Lake between 9 and 10 when he'll discuss those heady days in the 70s when ELP were one of the biggest selling acts in the world. In 74, I think it was them and Zeppelin were the joint biggest selling artists in the world. He'll be looking back on those days between 9 and 10 and two more songs from ELP as well. You're listening to The Rock Show. I'm Jeff Collins. In just a moment, tracks from Gunn, Joanne Shaw Taylor, and something very silly, but very good from the Royal Republic. It's 7:45.